I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
Oh, Mark, it's so hot. I've not slept, but I've watched a lot of wrestling.
Did some of the wrestling make you sleepy?
Some of it made me sleepy. Most of it made me angry.
I started watching WrestleMania 11 last night at 6 p.m.
Yes.
And it's probably like 3 hours.
But it's 2.5 hours.
You have to stop quite a lot to write things down and to do that. And honestly, it was about midnight by the time I finished, and I was sweating. I looked like Bam Bam Bigelow, just sitting in my house in some pants going... And the worst thing about this WrestleMania is, right, the main event where you have Lawrence Taylor, and there's a bit where Lawrence Taylor, right at the end, he's wiped out. He can't move. He's so tired. And looking at that made me feel even worse. I was like hot and watching Lawrence Taylor not breathe, and I was like, I'm going to die. I am going to... It is... So hot, I can't tell you.
It is crazy. And to anybody listening over the pond or anywhere else, really, mainland Europe,
lucky devils.
They're probably used to having air conditioning. We Brits, we don't have air conditioning, so we're just big sweaty boys.
I was on the bus this morning coming here, and it was so hot that even though there was nothing sticky on the floor, my trainers were sticking
to the floor.
To the floor of the bus.
Wow.
If I was like a sheep that they were going to kill, that would be illegal. TFL.
Am I right?
I've got other stand-up tropes I do.
I don't pay my taxes.
What is it with chicks? This is bad stand-up. This is bad Whoa.
Steady.
The heat is on.
The heat is on in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah, but... Oh,
what?
The heat is off.
What?
Because this is the first WrestleMania where Vince McMahon has finished his 2.5-year-long steroid and conspiracy trial that the US government had brought against him.
That's why Pat Patterson got a referee spot. he went, fuck it, I can do anything.
Pat is back.
Pat is back in a big way.
Pat is part of this trial.
Yeah.
So the trial, I went through all of the stuff last night. It's such a fun trial. It's so much fun. Basically, you've got. We've set this up before, but the US government decided to bring in charges against Vince McMahon.
Yes.
And the charges are conspiracy charges. And at the heart of it, they're saying he encouraged his wrestlers to take steroids, which are now illegal, in order that they would look huge and therefore his company would make more money.
Big boys.
And that the conspiracy is that everyone was involved in this, that he was going around saying, you need to get on the gas. And they had a tame doctor who would give them all the all the things. Now, this trial was, at the time, massive.
Mm.
Absolutely massive. It was running at the same time as the O.J. Simpson trial.
Ah.
And they were really competing in the press. I really, really remember clearly, I was in the sixth form at school. And we had to do a thing called SCS. At our school, you had to do one of two things, CCF or SCS.
Right.
CCF was Combined Cadet Forces.
Right, okay.
Where you had to go and be in the RAF for 2 years. It sounds like I'm from the 30s. And SCS was a thing that the children who were socially aware, woke, or homosexual did instead, which was SCS, which is Social and Community Services.
Right.
So I used to have to go to a big Victorian asylum in Leavesden,
yes,
where they would put us in there with everyone who was, you know, suffering very, very badly with mental disorders.
Mm.
And we'd talk to them. And by and large, it was 2 years of nightmarish interactions with very frightening people.
Yeah, the sort of thing that probably wouldn't happen nowadays.
No,
like,
I don't think so.
Needs that.
Probably shouldn't happen then.
They're not.
I mean,
you're not a professional. their head's gone, never the twain shall meet.
I managed to get swung onto a ward full of geriatric old ladies, who were, by and large, I mean, hilariously mad. Where they'd sort of, one of them would drag round dollies in a chicken, sort of chicken in a basket.
Yeah.
And she would talk about how she was taking her children sledging. It was all that. Everyone was quite fun.
It's a great gimmick for any wrestler.
I got off with my first lady there.
Oh, I just remember you telling me she came over. She was
83-year-old, her name was Mary, and she stuck her tongue in my mouth. Yeah.
There you go.
That was not how you really want to start your sexual career.
No.
Almost ended it. But when I was working there, they had a little shop in the middle of this huge, like, terrifying, gothic, crumbling institution. Mm. And it made the front of the Mirror, this trial, because Hulk Hogan was one of the people who testified.
Yes.
And Hulk Hogan on this whole trial, Hulk Hogan had really sort of said, yes, I took steroids. And the British press, it was front page news. It was huge. The other thing that came out of this trial is that the lawyer for the WWE, Jerry McDevitt, made it very, very clear that wrestling was an entertainment, that it was, you know, predetermined.
Yeah, and that was a big story as well.
That was a huge story, yeah. He said a thing saying, you know, a lot of people like the mystery of wrestling, but let's get rid of this whole idea there's a mystery about it. It's an entertainment.
Mm.
And it's where they first start using the phrase sports entertainment. That appears for the first time in the trial.
Because it
works. And then this WrestleMania.
It helps and it works for them.
Yeah, honestly, if you get a chance to read the actual transcripts of it, it's like a great drama. It would make a really good, you know, that one they did about the OJ thing, American Crime
like
Story.
Like a Netflix sort of thing. It'd be a great idea. Yeah.
It really is great, because you get this bit where they all come in and the attorney is really, really, the defense attorney. There's a woman who is looking after Vince's case, who is called Laura Brevetti. And she is, everything she says is like it's been scripted for her by, you know, the writers of The West Wing. It is so exciting. They basically break it down and say there was no big conspiracy.
Yeah.
What there was people using steroids. They chose to do it. Vince McMahon never asked them to do it. If he shared some steroids with Hulk Hogan, which we admit, it was because they were mates.
Yeah.
And it wasn't him saying, you have to do this. They had loads and loads of wrestlers come in. So the government said, right, you guys are talking to us. Moondog Spot, Tom Zenk, Warlord, Tully Blanchard, Rick Rude, Nails, the Ultimate Warrior, and Hulk Hogan.
Steady. Let's wind this. I've not seen Nails yet.
Do you know what? Nails never appears at a WrestleMania.
Oh.
But what he does do is appear at a SummerSlam. He's there at SummerSlam 92.
Right.
And SummerSlam 92, he has a match against Virgil. And what happens in this trial all relates to this match he had at SummerSlam.
Really?
And it can be seen as being the single most important match in wrestling history.
And Virgil is somehow involved.
Virgil is very much a minor part compared to Nails. Nails is, the greatest thing is, we're going to be doing some specials on SummerSlam.
Yes.
So
there's no secret there. That's what we're going to be doing.
That is what we're going to be doing.
We're going to plug this at the end of the show, but that's what we're going to be doing in the month of August.
I have got five pages of notes on Nails, and I have written, save this for the special Komong up soon. I spelt that bit wrong.
Yeah.
Now, he is, you're going to love this story. You are going to love this story. He played a sort of convict who had been wrongly jailed by the boss man. They never quite...
Oh, so the boss man was involved somehow, right?
Well, and they were building up for this feud. Nails, one of the worst wrestlers in the world. And what happened is they basically had this stupid thing where, weirdly as well, don't say he's been wrongly jailed by the boss man, because that makes the boss man look corrupt.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah, right? But they have this character, and all they're doing really is building him up for this feud with the boss man. He is throwaway.
Yeah.
If Vince McMahon could go back and say, should I have hired this guy? He could have saved himself years of problems. But had he not done it, the business would have been very, very difficult. And Vince McMahon may have ended up going to prison. It's
Nails,
so exciting.
Nails the saviour, but also
Nails,
the problem.
Nails wanted Vince to go to prison more than anything else in the world.
Well, Nails knew what it was like. He was wrongly jailed, Mark.
Well, yeah, it would have been different because Nails was wrongly jailed. But Nails is... I can't wait to tell the story. It's going to be probably like 4 weeks away. But I guarantee, if you're beginning to flag with this podcast, right, in 3 weeks' time it picks up again.
Did they have to build a set for Nails, like a jail-based set for him?
Did they? No, he had a big red jumpsuit on with some Nails. They sort of
exposition.
Went, I mean, it's hard, because they never sort of said what he was in for.
Mm.
His overall demeanour was, it was very serious. It wasn't like a funny thing where he was like Repo Man going, I'm going to get you because you put me in prison because I was stealing an egg. It was nothing like that.
It was a really horrible aggravated burly.
The undercurrent of it was...
He chased a woman down the sewer.
He's murdered a child. That seemed to be the sort of serious nature of the crime. Or, you know, yeah, he was on drugs and he tried to skin a lady. What? This is bleak. The trial itself, the wrestlers in this trial are great. You know how they're like larger than life characters, wrestlers.
Yeah.
In this, they all are terrified of getting on the wrong side of Vince McMahon, never working again.
Are we going to start now? Are you like properly? Do you want a little bit?
Let's do a little bit of the trial, but I won't mention some of the great bits.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But all of the wrestlers came forward and the government had called them. These were government witnesses.
Yeah.
And they all spoke under, I believe they all had immunity from prosecution.
Right. Okay.
So they were very open. Mm. But every single one of the witnesses damaged the government's case by saying, oh, I took steroids long before I ever went to WWF.
Yeah.
I got to WWF. And they couldn't find a single wrestler, who I believe were actually all telling the truth.
Mm.
They couldn't find a single wrestler who said, Vince McMahon specifically said to me, you need to get onto steroids so that you look better.
Because it was just cultural, doesn't it?
It was.
Like, it doesn't excuse the WWE being quite dirty when it comes to steroid abuse and steroids.
Yeah.
But culturally, if you want to look like a big giant, it's going to help.
The Ultimate Warrior, he did probably his most coherent promo of all time. So he was asked by the prosecutor, did you see signs of others using steroids? And the Warrior said, I'd been around long enough to see it and hear casual conversations. It wasn't like a great silence fell across the room when someone talked of steroids.
Yeah.
And the Ultimate Warrior said 85 to 90% of the WWF wrestlers while he was there were on steroids.
Like, mate, I've told you before, like, there's a sharp spin at my gym. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People put their needles in the sharp spin.
Entirely.
It's implicit.
The Warrior had actually been fired because he left a load of sharp in a hotel room,
right.
And they'd got back to the WWE, and Vince McMahon had said, mate, you can't be doing that.
Mm.
And the defence had said, oh, so he was really aware it was going on. And they were like, yes, that's our culture, oddly.
Mm.
There was one person who said, Vince McMahon said to me, you could probably do... Rick Rude said to Vince McMahon, I'm off steroids because I want to start a family. And Vince McMahon had said to him, you probably need to, you know, kick all that stuff. And they'd sort of said, so what was he talking about? Steroids? And Rick Rude said, yeah, I think so. And they went, could he be talking about anything else? And Rick Rude said, yeah, smoking. I'm a huge smoker. And I think actually, now I think of it, he might have meant stop smoking because that will help your fertility. So there are all these things. Every time the government go, smoking gun, it just falls apart a bit.
I don't think I could possibly put Ravishing Rick Rude under any kind of spotlight without falling in love with him a little bit.
There were huge amounts of things. So the Warrior said, Vince McMahon never, ever said to me, take steroids. And the prosecution said, well, but you were really good friends.
Mm.
He said, yeah, that's right. So if he was going to tell anyone to take steroids, he'd have been happy to tell me. And so it all just falls apart.
Right.
One great thing that comes out of the questioning is that Vince McMahon's secretary revealed he had his hair cut every 10 days. That's a sign of doing well, isn't it?
That's all right, isn't it? Yeah, just having somebody...
Imagine being able to spend 12 quid. Every 10 days. Amazing.
You had your hair cut last week. And
I did.
It put your hair into a mad Morrissey quiff. And I'm not being funny. You looked about 25.
The weirdest thing is, I've wanted a Morrissey quiff for years, but not within
not
the last 6 months.
No,
I don't need that. He used something new. I think I've never seen before where he just looked like, it's like cement powder.
Yeah.
And he was just like putting in my hair and pulling
it. Pro.
My hair's now sterile. But yeah, it was great. It was, and he also did that thing when I was sitting there. These two very sort of like they were Russian guys, and they were wearing that sort of Versace tops.
Yeah, yeah.
And they sat there, and one of them turned to the other, and he went, "This guy is like the best haircut in London." And the other one went, "Is he expensive?" And the other guy went, sure he is. And I thought to myself, bollocks, I haven't seen how much this is going to cost. And when he was putting all this new stuff on my hair, I thought, I'm fucked here. This is going to be, he's going to go, that's £190. £190. But it turned out to be 20 quid. Gray's Inn Road.
Gray's Inn Road.
If this podcast does nothing else, let me tell you, there is a Barbers on the Gray's Inn Road.
You want the best haircut in London, you go there.
Well, that's the first Russian I've ever met in London who thinks 20 quid's a lot of money. And I once got given a £50 note by a Russian who wanted a cigarette off me when I was in a club. He said, can I have a cigarette? I said, sure, yeah, yeah. He said, I'm going to give you money for this. I do not take it for free. I said, oh, don't be silly. And then he held out 50 quid note and I went, thank you. Almost bit his hand off.
That is worth.
The big star in the steroid trial was Hulk Hogan.
Right. Yeah.
And everyone is panicking about what Hogan is going to say. A couple of things. He's been given immunity from prosecution, so he can say what he likes. Secondly, he's signed to WCW, who are the competition. So he's no longer got a working relationship with Vince McMahon.
So it's within his best interests, almost.
It is.
Fuck over the WWE.
And thirdly, Hulk is known very, very... I mean, over the years, he will not necessarily tell the truth. He will say stuff that makes himself look better. And there was a real worry...
Mouth steroids, I call it.
There was a real worry from the WWE side that Hulk Hogan would be the person who put Vince McMahon in prison for 4 years. Hogan comes in entirely different. He was absolutely just tiny compared to, not just physically, but in the way that he reacted.
Yeah.
He seemed really frightened and horrified it had all come to this. He didn't make eye contact with McMahon once. McMahon didn't make eye contact with him. That typical thing of being best friends and suddenly you're on the other side of, you know, the courtroom. And they questioned Hogan, and Hogan answered incredibly truthfully the whole way. He admitted that he'd been taking steroids since 1976. He said he took loads of them. He saw steroids being used. But he also said that Vince McMahon had never actually provided steroids for him. Occasionally, he'd said, can I order some steroids through you? And then he'd pick them up and pay for them.
Yeah.
So what fell apart here is not whether everyone was on steroids. Everyone was on steroids.
Yeah.
It was whether or not there was a conspiracy by the WWF to put them on steroids.
Yes, okay.
And that fell down completely.
Mm.
So what happened is, I mean, the actual summing up is so exciting. It's so good. So they get Brevetti, who is Laura Brevetti, who is the defense for Vince McMahon. She sits opposite Hogan, and it's just, it thrills me. The way it's written is wicked. Mr. McMahon never ordered you to take steroids. Hogan says, no. Taking steroids was your own personal choice. Yes. Other wrestlers' decision to take steroids was also a personal choice. From my knowledge, yes. Did you ever see McMahon tell a wrestler to take steroids? No. Advances were given by agents to wrestlers everywhere. Yes. This is about the money that they were given money at the start of the day, which often they'd spend on steroids. But that money wasn't for steroids. That was their per diem. So what they did with it was up to them. And it carried on. She asked Hulk Hogan, she said, did you personally feel a tremendous amount of personal pressure as a result of this trial? And Hogan said, yeah, I felt singled out. There was a hysteria like AIDS.
Oh, no. Oh, Hulk.
So they sum up, and the summing up, honestly, this is like HBO. It's so exciting. So the government guy, the prosecutor, a guy called Sean O'Shea, and he says, this is about a corporate drug pusher. Some wrestlers wanted steroids and would do anything to keep their jobs. Every drug user has the excuse, and they may believe they need it to go on. But that's why drug pushers have customers. That's why they're illegal drugs. If the pushers have willing customers, that's no defense. The wrestlers were willing to pump up because they wanted the money, they wanted their jobs. And then the WWE defense came in, and they were just incredible. I mean, just really smashing it about. The first guy who comes up, Jerry McDevitt, the WWE lawyer, he just sort of says, look at the witnesses that you've got here. These are the best witnesses that you could get, and not one of them has said Vince McMahon wanted them to be on steroids. Not one.
It's a miracle that they got to the court, if that's what they're going to turn up and actually say.
It is incredible. I mean, he was saying here, Jerry McDevitt, he said, they brought you 9 wrestlers, so they must be the best 9 they've got. They brought you wrestlers with grudges, with lawsuits, who work for the competition. Tom Zenk and Rick Rude said they were on steroids. Zenk said he was on steroids 3 weeks ago, and Rude when he was recently in WCW. But the government don't care. They don't want to clean up the current problem. He said to the jury, do you feel you're being asked to do something good here, or are you being pushed to get Mr. McMahon? It's just, it's thrilling.
Oh, they have maybe the law courts are the pushers. Yeah. I like the way that they sort of introduced the how many wrestlers? 8 wrestlers?
9.
9 wrestlers. Some with grudges. Bring on the ring!
It's so exciting.
Oh.
You've got this is a courtroom drama.
I find the witness ravishing. Bang, bang, bang.
Big John Studd. It was his
Studley.
His last appearance in wrestling as well. He was very ill at this time. I think he had Hodgkin's lymphoma, form of cancer. And he testified over on phone again saying, it was entirely my decision. I wish I hadn't done them. There was a funny thing where they were talking about steroids, about saying at the time nobody knew they were as bad for you as they were. And the WWE defense said it's a lot like eggs. Look at eggs. We always thought eggs were really good for us, but they're high in cholesterol. And they're going, you know, if we could all go back and not eat eggs, wouldn't we do it? And I was thinking, eggs are bad for you. No idea about
Mark,
this.
They're worse than AIDS. Have you not heard? Hulk Hogan says he went on television to say this.
Wouldn't it be good if I don't know, I was going to say that, and do you know what? It was, even for me, unpalatable.
Wow.
It was about making a mistake between a vial of steroids and a vial of AIDS, and I'm not going to do that joke.
Don't do it.
It's not even a joke. I'm not going to do that horrible statement that will mean I never work again. So the jury go out for 2 days, and when they come back, they
are massive. These steroids seem very popular. They are juicy.
They acquitted him of all the charges, and Vince McMahon, he did a lovely. I mean, the government prosecutor was astonished when that result came
but
in.
He really thought they'd made it. Like, they just have no.
It really does.
I mean,
Vince McMahon came out and did a long press conference, and he sort of said, "I'm elated, just like in wrestling. In the end, the good guys always win." Vince, are you a good guy? Yeah. They proved that you didn't have a criminal conspiracy going, but everybody was taking steroids. And then, over the next 5 years, a lot of them died. They said to him, "How are you going to celebrate tonight?" And this is like the most Vince McMahon line in the history of the world. He said, "I'm not sure about that, but I may celebrate by going back to work." You know, he's an American hero. Now, later, fast forward. That was modern.
Oh, nice.
Very good, eh? I'm getting into this
story. Put that on the cart wall.
In 2010, Linda McCartney...
body slammed onto the Giants.
In front of 93,000 people. Heather Mills came in with a leg drop. Incredible. In 2010, Linda McMahon wanted to run for Senate.
Yes.
And this story came back up again about this criminal conspiracy that she, that her husband's company had really gone through. And there was some debate in the papers about whether or not Vince McMahon should have got off of this. And the part of the reason was there was a memo that had been sent to Pat Patterson by Linda McMahon that said, "We've heard George Zahorian, who was the doctor who supplied the steroids, was being investigated." And there was a question as to whether or not a lot of the paperwork that could have worked in the government's favour to prove a criminal conspiracy had been destroyed.
Right.
So they were saying that there could have been a cover-up of this criminal conspiracy. That is a theory that is posited, but not one that the government could prove. So I'm making it clear that the government brought a errant case against a truly wonderful American businessman, and I would like that to be the final word on the matter. I don't want to go to court because I know Vince McMahon does well in court.
His record of knockdowns is excellent. It's up there with John Tenta's sumo wrestling record.
I saw when I was going through this lots of pictures of steroids. And they're not very exciting.
No, they're just little bottles and stuff, aren't they?
I thought they might be like a sort of liquid that was fun looking.
Yeah.
You know, like full of spangles. You know how when you see like pills in the newspapers
and
they've got like Mickey Mice on?
They look so inert, don't they, I guess?
Yeah.
I've been taking like a kind of asthma drug that's got steroids in it every day, but it's not one that's going to make you muscular. The complete opposite, in fact. It makes you less muscular.
Do you inject it into your bum?
No, I don't inject it in my bum.
Right.
But I think when I've had asthma attacks in the past, when I was a little baby, my mum had to give me a prednisolone shot in the arse.
Really?
Yeah.
They should have called you for this. They should have, instead of Moondog Spot.
Moondog Spot.
Moondog Spot. The one thing came out of the trial as well is he was originally in Demolition, the painted face tag team.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he only did 2 days. And they said, so did he get rid of you because your body wasn't good enough? And he said, no. He said, they got rid of me really because everyone knew it was me under the makeup. He said, they recognised my nose. He's a moon dog. He's got a big dog's nose.
Oh, that's adorable.
He hasn't. He's just got a middle-aged man's nose.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't start!
And so we go into WrestleMania. For the first time in 2.5 years, Vince McMahon is like, great, I can carry on with my life.
I mean, so a cloud's been lifted.
Cloud's been lifted, and there's one other small cloud on the horizon. But this is the single worst year in wrestling history.
And also, like, it just seems to me he's not speculating to accumulate at the moment, because I imagine a lot of lawyers' fees.
Yeah,
he ain't paying for anybody. We're in Hartford, Connecticut.
They've also got Pat Patterson, who doesn't do so well in the trial. Pat Patterson has a lot of things where he says, I can't remember, don't think so. And they say, oh, yeah, but in this last one, you said this. And so Pat's a little bit all over the
tinted,
place.
Right, yeah.
But it means he can come back. And Pat is one of the great minds in wrestling. So the last 3 years, the problem is Pat's not really been in it. They've had to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Largely over a sexual harassment case that we talked about before.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't involved in, but as an openly gay man, he certainly, you know, was touched by it, unfortunately. Yeah. Tainted more than anything. And they can bring Pat in. But what you're seeing here is essentially 3 years where Pat Patterson has not been there. And the stuff they've got, the level of the fucking characters they have in this at this period is so unbelievable.
There's a lot of new faces, let me say.
You got cowboys, hillbillies, fucking hillbillies. In the middle of the year, you get Isaac Yankum, who is Jerry Lawler's demented dentist. You've got Bob Sparkplug Holly, who's like a racing car driver. Fucking pig farmers, right? And there's a tag team called the Godwins, and they are Phineas I. Godwin and Henry O. Godwin, because it spells pig and hog, right? I've got a better name, right? They should have both been called Chester Ulrich Nathaniel T. Cunt. I hate these fucking... They even bring a garbage man, Duke the Dumpster Drozy.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I want to spend 50 quid on a ticket to see a fucking bin man rolling around on a thing.
Hey, he's not even Junkyard Dog. If he was Junkyard Dog...
Oh! We're going to talk about Junkyard Dog. It's another legal thing. You're going to love it.
Lovely.
But the worst one of all they bring in is something called Mantor.
Right.
Mantor does not make it to any WrestleManias or SummerSlams. Right. He doesn't make it. He's on TV a few times.
Right.
But what he is, no one really knew what he was. I think he's a Minotaur. He came out with a bull's head on, and then that would come off, and it was just a bloke underneath. And he would charge and trample, and he would fucking moo.
Oh, my God. I've Googled it.
No one's ever said who's come up with Mantor. But I want to know. This person needs to be put on trial.
But the mask that they put... Well, it's not even a mask. It's just a big bull's head. Like, a stuffed bull's head.
Yeah, and then that comes off, and he's just got paint on the side of his head, which is sort of like a rumour of a horn. I mean, what the fuck is
dreadful
this?
Dreadful
work. Now, this guy, they did a bit where they sort of went, actually, I think we're on a bit of a losing streak here. So they get Jim Cornette, one of the great speakers in, who sort of manages him.
Mm.
And when they're talking about it, Jim Cornette is trying to make sense of this, to try and go, what would it be if it wasn't bad? And he goes, he's not actually a Minotaur, right? He's not Mantor. His real name's Mike, right? What the fuck are you doing, Jim? What are you doing? This makes perfect sense now. I understand this character, right? He is a real bloke called Mike Halak, I think his name is.
Right.
He never really wrestled. He was originally in Europe wrestling as Bruiser Mastino.
Yeah.
And then he never really did anything else again. He's famous because he's one of the worst characters of all time.
Right.
He does nothing, but Mantor totally. I mean, look him up. It's the sort of thing where, if you had kids, you had six kids, and you went, what would the best wrestler be? They'd essentially go, he's got a bald head and he's fat and he's not good at wrestling and his real name is Mike.
That would be Mantor.
Crazy.
Yeah, so there are new characters sort of popping up because, I mean, I guess the subject is that they've lost a lot of talent to WCW and everything's a bit shit. But more than anything else, like, I'm looking at stuff and got like, what is another? Who's Jacob and Eli Blue? Who are these people? Like, and cowboy gimmicks. Ugh. Like, you could have a Royal Rumble just of cowboy gimmicks, surely. Yeah. There's been so many of them, even I know that.
I think with the Smoking Guns, they come up later on this, I think they were an attempt to sort of go, we need some people that really appeal to the ladies, like the Rockers did. And so they bring in, they basically invent Brokeback Mountain, right? And you've got these guys who are really skinny, in these really fucking tight beige denim things. And it's so creepy. They look like fucking strippers. And it's so awful. And it's just the worst period. Every decision that's made is bad.
Yeah.
And what they've got is they've got loads of these young people. They're doing this new generation thing. So house show business has been bad. Mm. And Bret Hart was the champion. And they're getting about 4,000 people at every house show. They go, do you know what? We need to get a new champion in.
Yeah.
So they get Diesel, who weirdly is about the same age as Bret Hart, but has not been wrestling as long. He's 35. And they get him in because he's a really popular guy, Kevin Nash. He's really funny, he's really charming, and he's big. So they've given up on Lex Luger as being the next Hogan. Mm. Maybe it's this guy. Maybe it's Kevin Nash. So they say, let's get rid of Bret Hart because business is down. So they put Diesel in the main position as the champion, and business goes down to a record low of under 2,000 per house show. I mean, it's just a nightmare. They are in the course of a year, halving their business, and they can't work out how to stop it. You've got Diesel, who, again, is he supposed to be a truck?
I couldn't figure it out, really, because, like, he looks like a biker.
Yeah.
But he's called Diesel.
Yeah.
And, like, Kevin, I guess he becomes Kevin Nash later on, doesn't he?
In WCW. So when he leaves and they have this big takeover, Diesel is a WWF trademark. So they go by the real names. And this, again, changes the business because people begin going, oh, this is real. This isn't fake.
Yeah.
But what are you if you're Diesel? What are you? You've got Shawn Michaels, that's a man. You've got Bret Hart, that's a man. Yeah. And you've got Diesel.
The sort of thing you only say if you've put that in your tank and your car doesn't run on diesel, you go Diesel. Like, that's he's a man who shouldn't be there.
Like I'm supposed to suddenly feel affectionate towards Diesel. You know, do you know what? I've always liked Diesel, so this guy seems okay.
He does look good, to be fair. He's a big, good look, well, all right looking guy. Sort of.
He's a good looking guy. I think he's super charismatic.
Yeah.
And weirdly, when they put him in this position, he shows none of the charisma that he does. Even a year later, he sort of goes bad. And I don't think he's making more of himself. What you do see in this bit is the people who are getting over are the people who understand what they are. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And then you've got people like Diesel and they're going, what is this?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Why can't I just be like me and be cocky and fun?
Yeah.
And now I've got to play this character, which is sort of like an Autobot, but a man, and it doesn't transform. I just don't get who came up with all of this shit. So they are just having a fucking nightmare.
And the other thrashing around and sort of panicking and kind of, And I realise they've just come out of a big trial and they've got to be very careful about what they do. But, like, the start of the show is just like a montage, like they did last time, the 10 years of WrestleMania. This time they do it again. They do a montage of the best bits of WrestleMania past. No Hogan.
Nope.
There's one shot of Andre throttling a man three times shorter than him.
Ironically, out of all the wrestlers you don't show, the ones that you do see are the Bolsheviks, Nikolai Volkov and Boris Zukov, in the back of a shot with Steve Allen. The two worst wrestlers in the world. it's a weird thing where they're just going, do you know what wrestling is about? Not about wrestling.
No, yeah, it's about Donald Trump, Run DMC, Macaulay Culkin. Just all the celebs. And obviously, this time around, they've spent a lot of money on celebs. That's where the money's gone into.
Even this goes hilariously wrong.
Oh, it's such a mess.
You're going to love it.
It's such a mess.
So the big thing that's built up throughout the whole of this is Pamela Anderson is there.
Yeah.
And they have a big thing about where is she, where's she gone?
Yeah.
She's supposed to be accompanying Shawn Michaels to the ring.
Yeah.
And they've done a little bit at the Royal Rumble back in January, where she was there, and she appears with Shawn Michaels at the end to say, well done. So she's sort of like a valet in that thing. She, at this time, is the most famous woman
huge
on Earth. Mm. Although, as you see from this WrestleMania, Jenny McCarthy is actually far preferable. What happens is they go, so she'll be coming with Shawn Michaels to the ring. What a great gimmick. You've got rid of Sensational Sherry, and you've got Pamela Anderson, the world's
hottest woman
most famous woman. Mm. And backstage, before they go on, Tommy Lee and Shawn Michaels get into a proper punch-up.
Oh, really?
And the reason is Tommy Lee sort of goes, you have overstepped a mark with my wife. So instead of going, well, this will all go perfectly well, they have to do a thing where they go, oh, Christ, well, maybe if Jenny McCarthy will go with him and then Pamela Anderson can go with Diesel. And that's the agreement they come to. My fucking God, nothing is going right. My absolute favourite bit of it is when Pamela Anderson comes out, there's a roar from the crowd.
Yeah.
And rather than go, isn't that nice? She visibly flinches. Like, oh, that's hurting my ear. Everything is going wrong. But but this celebrities thing, I mean, nobody is paying attention to what's going on in the ring.
Nobody's paying attention to what's going on in the ring. Just admin-wise, they can't get the sound right. They can't get the lighting right. It's just a shit show from start to finish. And it's like, you've done this 10 times.
Yeah.
And you've done this even in the second show. In the WrestleMania 2, you did better work.
Oh, there's such a funny bit where it opens and it's got Vince and Jerry Lawler there. And so Vince now this is over, he's put himself back front and centre.
Yeah, and that didn't fill me with great love. I was like, oh, good, it's Lawler and McMahon again.
He's introducing the person who's going to be singing the national anthem. We are going to be fucking talking about that in a second. He's introducing the person doing the national anthem and there's no sound on the mic at all.
Yeah.
So you can just see this tiny Vince McMahon in a ring throwing his arms around like he's doing interpretive dance. This is like, oh, fucking great. Brilliant.
What a mess. But the celebrities that are actually there, Pamela Anderson, as big as she ever gets. Home Improvement's John Taylor Thomas, of course. one of the kids out of Home Improvement. I think he's the like replacement Macaulay Culkin, because Culkin was at one before.
Yeah, a strange thing as well of wanting always to sort of go, let's have a child star there. I don't think around the wrestlers that's a great booking.
Jenny McCarthy, who's now obviously an anti-vaxxer lunatic. Salt and Pepper, they're there at one point.
Yep.
And Lawrence Taylor's all-pro team. Now, Lawrence Taylor, obviously a big NFL star. I think he'd retired at this point, but he was a bit of a bad boy. One of the most incredible defenders in the NFL, apparently.
Still seen as being top 10 of all time.
Exactly. But what I like on his autobiography, I think he said, he constantly gets suspended for cocaine.
Right.
Constantly gets suspended for cocaine.
Well, he found the right business to move into.
He failed a second drug test, and after a second positive test, he gave up drugs for 5 years because a third positive test would mean he has to leave the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And as he approached retirement, he said, basically in his second autobiography, I'm seeing Blow as the only bright spot in my future. Like, he's looking forward to having a debilitating coke addiction, which I think is incredible.
Oh, amazing. You've got to have a goal. There's something brilliant about being a sportsman and going, you know, sport is all very well, but do you know the thing I'd really like to be remembered for? My prodigious intake of beak. Again, with that Mike's thing, there's just, again, everything goes so wrong.
Yeah.
In that Vince McMahon, he has a bit where he just says, what is WrestleMania? WrestleMania, simply put, is the standard excellence in sport entertainment. And they prove that by 40 times it goes backstage and the mics just aren't working.
So badly.
It's so poor. There's a bit as well where Jim Ross does an interview with someone in the pitch black.
Oh, that is incredible. Like, oh. They go, but it... Like, I think he at the end just goes, I'm giving up. So I think move on. But like, it's completely dark. He can barely hear what's going on. He can't see the wrestler to give the microphone to. It's such a bloody mess. And tying it all together is NYPD Blues Nicholas Turturro.
I know.
And he's not a presenter.
No.
He's an actor.
Yeah.
He's NYPD Blues Nicholas Turturro. But he has to somehow tidy it all together. Vincent Mann, presumably, this Pamela Anderson backstage Tommy Lee thing makes so much sense because they keep throwing.
Nicholas Turturro's big thing is, where is Pam Anderson?
Yes.
And that is a genuine question that's being asked.
Where's Arn Anderson? He might have helped somehow. He might have sorted it out.
Fuck, I mean, it's so unfortunate. They're lucky in a way that the celebrities they have there are working really hard to try and keep it on the rails, and they're doing a good job. Apart from Pamela Anderson, who literally
she may as well just be in a Virgin Megastore.
There's a little clip they show, and it's from the Royal Rumble where she arrives in a car, and they've got everyone waiting out for her, and they've clearly not said to her, when it pulls up, you are going to be surrounded by what looked like a group of lunatics. And so they've got Mabel, who's put on some sunglasses, because that's how you fuck Pamela Anderson. You might be 580 pounds and look like something from fucking Neil Gaiman's The Sandman. But if you wear some sunglasses, she might fuck you. He's there with Dink, the tiny midget clown.
Oh, yeah, good.
Tatanka, who's dressed as a Native American and sort of doing all kissy face. And she comes out of this limo, and she as she gets out and she takes a step back as all these monsters loom towards her. It is so... And she keeps her back against the wall and she goes through a door and they all go, ugh, because they all thought they were going to have sex with her then. I have never seen someone walk along a wall so no one can get behind them. I've heard
she
that expression.
Is from Canada. Oh. It's a polite place.
She, polite you could place. Tell her that. But she must have spent, from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, that two-month period, just going... But Leo, you have to get me out of it. You have to get me out of it. I don't want to do it. And he's going, look, it's already signed. You've got it. And her going, I'm really frightened. I hate you. Take Tommy Lee along. Nothing will happen. Oh, God. The national anthem this year. Again, this is all part of Vince McMahon saying, we are not a horrible, sordid organisation.
Yeah.
And they get a lady from the Special Olympics to sing the America the Beautiful. She was a last-minute replacement.
Was she?
Yeah.
Because if you Google Kathy Huey, which is her name, if you Google her name and the word Olympian, the only thing that comes up is WrestleMania.
Really?
Like, you can't find any... I can't... Maybe I'm spelling it wrong. I cannot find any reference to her being in the Special Olympics.
I don't know. I mean, she's clearly visually impaired, challenged.
Yeah.
She... I don't know... I mean, I don't know how they found out she was a singer.
I mean, she's got pipes on her.
It's what they used to call operetta.
Yeah.
Which is, opera is, you can go, that's opera.
Yeah.
And pop music, you go, that's pop music. And operetta, you sort of go, oh, it's neither really.
Yeah. It's like you can sing a pop song, but wiggle your voice a bit.
Yeah. So she'll sort of go, oh, and it's really, oh, okay. We no one can boo.
No.
But we would. She replaced the
Salt
band.
Salt and Pepper were doing it.
She replaced the band Fishbone.
Oh, wow. Why did Fishbone not want part of this?
Fishbone will not be associated with any organisations who take drugs. Are they massive stoners, Fishbone?
Fishbone, they sound like they might be.
They sound like it's a horrible enough name that I sort of go, oh, you sound skanky.
Fishbone.
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 Tell me about Fishbone.
American band from 1979. They sound like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh.
They look like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. One man is playing, there's a lot of brass involved, there's a man with a gigantic saxophone, I don't know what that is.
Good God.
But yeah. Well, hyperactive, self-conscious diversity, goofy sense of humour, and sharp social commentary.
Sharp social commentary. That's exactly what I want from my fucking music. In the same way as I want a really good beat from my newspaper. Awful.
They were on Monday Night Raw, though.
Were they?
Oh, there you go.
Ah.
Apparently, Vince McMahon heard Fishbone's planned rendition of the song and decided against having the band
really?
Perform the event.
Oh, that's great.
He went, that's too much scar for me. Too much roots. Too much roots for me.
How? You see,
let's
now
have
that's
a woman
very
in shell,
much...
So bash,
Wikipedia needs to be updated. That's great. The Salt and Pepper are there. Mm. And you think, oh, why didn't they do the national anthem? And they were actually there on the network. They've cut the performance.
Really?
But they did a brilliant rendition of What a Man when Lawrence Taylor comes in.
Oh, do they?
Which is a better thing. So on the actual thing, I think he's just got some... They use the music from Superstars, the old British... You know Superstars, where like Kevin Keegan would cycle
fall off
and
his bike, yeah.
And then do weightlifting. Mm. They use that... Ba, 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 bum, boom, 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 boom. But on the original, broadcast,
salt and
the tape is Salt and Pepper doing What a Man. Why didn't they sign the rights for that?
Yeah. Oh, mate. The thing is, though, the problem with stuff like that is certainly, I don't know whether live performances count like that. Mm. I mean, but if you're doing your single, I mean, presumably that's just an archive.
You signed that thing that
they
says.
They probably just didn't write that. They were too busy with their fucking,
nose bag.
Too busy with their court orders to sort of deal with, you know, signing off performances in perpetuity. Because, like, video games a lot of the time, like Grand Theft Auto is always celebrated as, like, having an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, stuff like that. All these games had amazing soundtracks. They only last for, like... Because obviously games are downloadable now constantly.
Yeah.
You can just go and
they
download
them. They used to
them.
Have that thing that said in all... You know,
they
this
replace
is,
all
you're,
songs
you're signing
all
it and it's, you know, for all medium as yet
but only,
undiscovered.
But it's only for, like, 10 years usually. Oh, so
you'd
it's
think
probably
in wrestling,
outside the statute.
That would be a bit of a worry for them because presumably you could go, well, I'm King Kong Bundy. I signed this 20 years ago. You're still using... And in fact, there have actually been a few cases brought. I think Raven, the wrestler, he brought something about saying, I'm on the network and yet... You know, I don't get anything for that.
Yeah.
But you can see all of my matches.
Yes.
And they basically sort of went, no, you signed that over.
Mm.
So I'm not sure. I think that will be a thing that will be tested, especially as you see things like, you know, this YouTube thing and the EU, you know, stuff going through at the minute, where they're saying, oh, maybe you're going to have to pay for videos and things. Can you tell I've briefly skimmed this and thought I had a handle on it, but now realise I'm lacking in my handle.
ravishing Rick Marquez on the stand.
Yeah, a couple of things that are worth pointing out. This is also, even though it's the low point for wrestling, the high point for bad wrestling merchandise.
Okay.
And there are loads of the worst t-shirts in the world. Proper, you know your Rock one?
Yes.
That the Rock retweeted you wearing?
Yeah,
all over print.
Mm.
In 95, you could get them on everyone, so you'd have an Undertaker one in yellow that would be a full print
picture
of a t-shirt.
Right, okay.
And you see those, there's a Razor Ramon one you see and a Bret Hart one, and they are just the single worst things they ever put out that now look great and vintage and cool.
Yeah.
I'd really like them. I remember at the time, this again is the period where I'd had enough of wrestling and I really dipped out here. Part of that was the Lawrence Taylor thing. Here, pre-internet, there was no way of working out who Lawrence Taylor was.
No.
And he was so famous in the States, they don't even bother saying who he was.
Who he was, yeah.
No, it'd be like, I mean, when they bring out all of the guys who are the football players, to a British audience, I mean you might as well say, oh, you know, we don't need to tell you who this are. It's Fiji's national swimming team. You know, it was so mystifying.
Yeah.
And then that combined with the terrible characters and then the bad merchandise, this thing was just going to hell.
Off the rails,
appalling.
For young Mark Haynes, anyway.
Very much so.
I'm just glad that Lawler didn't fuck his intro like he did last time. Because he mashed up his intro or something chronic. He was dreadful last time.
Yes. He's not bad on this one.
Yeah, he's pretty good, yeah.
He's firing away some gags out there. He's pretty sort of, you know, not sexist and brutal.
No, he's not as bad as he was. Like, maybe he's been told
as off. Terrible as he can be. Shall we try and get to one match?
All right, let's do one match before we have to chip off.
Okay, the first match is Allied Powers, British Bulldog and Lex Luger versus Jacob and Eli Blue with Uncle Zebekiah. Uncle Zebekiah is great. You'd love Uncle Zebekiah. He's a guy called Dutch Mantel. He's been around for ages. Vietnam vet. He was there for 11 months. And I don't think he had a great war. I think he was quite sort of traumatised, as a lot of people were. He comes back. He was a good wrestler, small, but he used to fight Jerry Lawler a lot, and they were huge at the time. He also became a really, really good booker. So he went over to Puerto Rico, where they were selling out stadiums every week, and he was booking that. He's also really well known for the fact that he was on the scene in the event where Bruiser Brody was murdered in Bierman Stadium in Puerto Rico.
Right.
And Bruiser Brody is one of the great brawlers in wrestling history. Mm. He was a guy who never signed with a single federation. He was an independent wrestler, and he could be a main event anywhere in the world.
Mm.
So he was a huge star in Japan. He was a huge star in Puerto Rico. He was a huge star in America. And he was also quite a difficult man to work with because he knew his own value.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't do jobs particularly.
Right,
you know, he would always want to go over or he'd lose by DQ. And he was a difficult guy to work with because he was one of the biggest stars in the world. He'd been working in Puerto Rico for years and years and years. And on this night, they arrive at the stadium together, Bruiser Brody and Dutch Mantel. And Mantel says there was a funny feeling in the air.
Yeah.
Tension. And the owner of the Puerto Rican Federation, which is the WWC, the World Wrestling Council, is a guy called Carlos Colon. And he was there with a guy called Invader One, who was the big baby face in the territory, who was a guy called Jose Gonzalez. And Dutch Mantel said, look, it was such a tense situation. I thought I'd do what I normally do, which is I'll go out and have a look at the crowd, see how it's getting on. So he goes out and has a look at the crowd. Place is filling up.
Mm.
He walks back in and there's chaos.
Mm.
And what has happened since he's been gone is Invader One has asked Bruiser Brody to come into the bathroom with him to discuss some business. That was a common thing done when you had a big dressing room. You'd head off into the bathroom because it was a private place, like an office. And what happened there is Jose Gonzalez stabbed Bruiser Brody once with a knife. No one knows really what it's about.
Yeah.
Brody came out. He was stabbed. They could see air coming out of the wound, which they later found out was he'd been stabbed in the lung.
Yeah.
It was 25 minutes before an ambulance turned up. They actually had to put a bulletin out on the radio to get the ambulance to come in.
Right.
When the guys arrived there, the police and the ambulance guys couldn't lift him. So Tony Atlas, another American wrestler who was there, had to carry Bruiser Brody up some stairs to get him into the back of the ambulance.
Yeah.
The ambulance goes off. The police are there, and the police don't know whether this is real or not. So they're not really working. There's no sort of things. In this time, Invader One, who has stabbed Brody, just leaves.
Yeah.
And he comes back later wearing a different shirt. And people are saying, what has gone on? And they're like, well, don't worry about it. Let's go and wrestle. It'll all be fine.
So weird.
Crazy. So they go out. They do this. It's all tense. It's weird. I mean, just bizarre. Brody gets to the hospital and they can't save him. And he dies at 5 a.m. that morning. It's loss of blood. Dutch Mantel always says if he was in an American hospital, he thinks he would have survived.
Yeah.
So naturally what happens is there's been a murder.
Mm.
And that's it. Nothing happens. So Dutch Mantel is told, we'll bring you back and we'll get the case sorted. And he receives his information about the court date the day after the trial has all taken place. Jose Gonzalez is charged with the murder of Bruiser Brody. I think he pleads guilty, but he's acquitted. He then goes back into wrestling. The answer is, it was a mad cover-up. There was either money or it was a sense of the foreigners, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Most of the wrestlers packed up, went home, and they never went back to Puerto Rico.
Right.
A couple of them did. But it is probably the most famous wrestling murder of someone who was at the top of their game. It's hard to give you an equivalent of who it would be, like even today, but it would be the biggest heel in the world, who was working all around the world, is murdered by a massive wrestler. And nothing happens.
Incredible.
There's been some things over the years where Invader won. He went on to become a huge babyface. I mean, Unforgiven, but the fans didn't mind in Puerto Rico. I mean, it's really worth reading about. There are a couple of good books about it. There's still not been one that's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
But there's some good books about Bruiser Brody. Yeah. His matches are really worth watching. I mean, they are fantastic. But Dutch Mantel was there, and he's really one of the people who has talked most openly about what he saw. He's an interesting guy. I mean, he was also a Dutch Mantel to get off the sort of bleakness of ending this on the death of Bruiser Brody, which it's so bleak, it's so horrible. Dutch Mantel was also the best man at the Undertaker's wedding. I don't know which one, but the other person who was the best man at Undertaker's wedding was a guy called Brian Lee, who plays the fake Undertaker in one of the SummerSlams.
And that
Hindi film.
That's
the Undertaker's best man. He saw him and he went, "You are good. You are so good at being me. You can be my best man." I'm not sure how that worked. And Dutch Mantel also gave Stone Cold Steve Austin, he gave him the Steve Austin name.
Oh, nice.
So
this guy's got a finger in so many pies.
He has, and he's sort of underrated as to how great he is, because you only ever see him as a hillbilly manager.
Yeah.
The Steve Austin was called Steve Williams. There was already a wrestler called Steve Williams. So Dutch Mantel came up with Steve Austin as the stage surname. He also came up with two others, which he was going to give him, which were Stevie Rage or William Stevenson III, which is really poor.
I don't think he could have saw that last one.
No, I don't think so. Do you want to get into some serious Nazi chat, or should we save that for next time?
Let's save that for next time, my frightening man. We'll be back next week. If you want to get in touch with the show, it's... what is the email address? I'm very tired and I'm very hot.
It's WrestleMePod, is it? Do not know. I tell you what. Get me on Twitter, @WrestleMePod.
You know what it is? It's short @WrestleMePod.com.
Oh, wow. A big build up there.
Sorry.
For, like, telling people how they could do it, and then your brain kicks
short
back in.
@WrestleMePod.com.
Good
get in
news.
Touch if you want to say hello. I'm melting down a little bit.
Just look, if you want to speak to us, just shout into the air. Hopefully one of us will hear it.
And we'll look,
that's the way we're going to do it. Right? next week, Nazis. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.